Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 26, chapter entitled The I Life of Gita. Text number 6 and 7.
Kaman Atripto Nujusan Shulakan Varshayamini Naveda Yantir Nayantir Urvashi Akrishta Chetana Kamana Tripto Nujushan Shulakan Varsha Jamini Naveda Yantir Nayantir Urvashya Krishna Chetana Kamana Tripto Nujushan Shulakan Varshayamini Naveda Yantir Nayantir Urvashya Krishna Chetana Kaman
Lusty desires,
Atripta,
Unsatiated,
Anujushan,
Gratifying,
Kshulakan,
Insignificant,
Varsha,
of many years,
Yamini,
the nights,
Naveda,
he did not know.
Yanti,
going.
Na,
no.
Ayanti,
approaching.
Urvashi,
by Urvashi.
Akrishta,
attracted.
Chetanaha,
his mind. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Although for many years Pururava had enjoyed sex pleasure in the evening hours, still he was not satisfied by such insignificant enjoyment. His mind was so attracted to Urvashi that he did not notice how the nights were coming and going. Translation responsibly. Although for many years Pururava had enjoyed sex pleasure in the evening hours, still he was not satisfied by such insignificant enjoyment. His mind was so attracted to Urvashi that he did not notice how the nights were coming and going. Purport. This verse refers to Pururava's materialistic experience with Urvashi. Text 7. King Ila said, "Alas, just see the extent of my delusion. This goddess was embracing me and held my neck in her grip. My heart was so polluted by lust that I had no idea how my life was passing." Omigyan Timadandasya Kinanjana Shalakaya Takshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this part of the Bhagavatam is teaching us about the dichotomy of material life and spiritual life. It means that the jiva is given independence when he is created by Krishna. Because Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means fully independent. Krishna has the ability to do whatever he wants to do. Krishna can just desire anything and it is immediately achieved through his different potencies. Krishna has, it is said in Brahma Samhita, 16 principal potencies like that. So some of the principal potencies are Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Ichcha Shakti. Ichcha Shakti means the desire, or just by desiring Krishna can manifest anything just by desire. Kriya means the force or the ability to get something happening. Jnana Shakti means he is all knowing. So Krishna has these unlimited potencies. So by Ichcha Shakti, just by Krishna desiring, he can achieve anything he wants. That is the difference between us and Krishna. You may desire something, but it's very difficult for you to achieve it. You may want so many things, but whether or not those things will come to you, that's a different thing. But Krishna simply desires and everything manifests immediately. So he has unlimited potency. That is why we worship Krishna. Lord Brahma says, Govindam Adi Purusha Tamaham Vajami. I worship the Adi Purush, the Maha Purush, the great Purusha, the most powerful personality. I worship him. This is intelligence, Sumedha Saha. When one has intelligence, one worships Krishna. So, Krishna has unlimited potency. Now, we are also created in God's image. As it says in the Bible, man is created in the image of God. So we have minute independence. Krishna is Swarat, which means he can do anything he wants. Whereas we have minute independence. We can do... we have limited independence. In other words, we can have a certain amount of free will or choice. Now, because of that free will or choice, the living entity chooses to stay in the material world or chooses to go to the spiritual world. That is choice. Why did we come to the material world in the first place? Srila Prabhupada says, misuse of independence. We have independence given to us by God, but we are misusing it. So therefore, we come into the material world. Now, it is also by proper use of that independent, or that independence which is given to us by Krishna, that we can go back to the spiritual world. So it is choice, it is desire. Ultimately, it is desire which keeps us in the material world, and it is desire which keeps us in, or takes us to the spiritual world. That is your choice. Which desire is stronger? Your desire to enjoy the material world, or your desire to enjoy this, or to go back to the spiritual world? So every living entity has this choice. Now, how does desire develop? It says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kaman Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Kama, or desire, develops by Sangha, your association. According to the association you receive and that you keep, that you aspire for, that will develop the desire that you have within your heart. Your consciousness will develop. Just like the crystal you see up here, there's so many crystals in the chandelier. Now, when the lights are off, the crystal does not show any quality. Now, we don't see anything particular. The lights are off, you can see the crystal, but there's not so much happening. But then when the light comes on, by the association of the light, then the crystal develops so many colours. So I can see the crystal, I can see red, I can see pink, I can see green, I can see blue, I can see indigo. I can see all the different colours in the colour spectrum. All the colours of the rainbow are within the light. We can see that. Now, that is only because of association. So, according to the association that we choose to choose to keep, then that is how our consciousness will develop. So if we associate with the materialists, we will also become materialistic. It's very dangerous. We have to be very careful. Maya is very insidious. Maya only needs a crack and she will come in and take advantage. Just like Prabhupada said, when we preach Krishna consciousness, we come in like a needle and out like a plow. Right? We only need a little gap. They just give us a little gap. Just like now we're organizing in February the Ratha Yatra festival. So they gave us a little opportunity. Right? We come in like a needle, but then Jagannath will come out like a plow. Just come in very subtly. Then Prabhupada said, this is our preaching. Very subtle. We're okay. We're just the Hare Krishnas. We're not going to do much. Right? But actually, we're going to take over Melbourne. Now, Lord Jagannath is going to rise and come off the altar for the first time. He's going to leave this temple compound for the first time in 30 years. More, actually. Maybe 35 years since he's left this temple. He hasn't come out for a long time. So now he's going to come out. He's going to ride on his chariot and he's going to march towards St. Kilda. Right? And crush the materialistic civilization. Right? And we will all march with him. Right? You see in Puri, when the Ratha Yatra takes place, right? And all the pandas up there on the cart, Lord Balaram's cart, playing the gong. Boom, 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 big marching. All right? And Balaram is going, just conquering everything in his sight. So they will come off the chariot and we'll go down. But the nature of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, even though we are conquering, but we do it in a very sweet way. It is done by giving people love of God, by giving them prasadam, by giving them the holy name, by giving them Krishna consciousness. So it is in such a way that it is very sweet, it is very attractive. But this is Jagannath's mood. He wants to conquer the whole city. He wants everyone to become his devotee. So the Krishna consciousness movement is like that. We just come in very subtly, in like a needle, but then out like a plow. But Maya is also exactly the same. Prabhupada says that when you join the Krishna consciousness movement, when you become a Hare Krishna devotee, you declare war on Maya. Right? It is a war. Now what happens in a war? Right? In a war, there are casualties on both sides. Sometimes people leave one side and they join the other side. Sometimes people leave one side and they go back to the other side. So it is a war. Just like in the Ramayana, before the battle began, Ravana's brother, Vibhishan, then he left. He left the Rakshasas. Right? He said to Ravana, he said, if you do not surrender to Ram, who is standing outside your gates, he said, you will lie dead on the battlefield. Ravana said, I will not surrender. He said, who is this man who will conquer me? Like that. So then he said, okay, then, my brother, I will leave you. So then he went, and he went to Lord Ram, and he offered obeisances, and he said, accept me. I've come to your side. I want to fight for you. So then he joined Ram's side, and he fought against Ravana's army. So there will always be people coming from both sides. People will come. Prabhupada actually said one time, he said, don't be surprised who comes, be surprised who stays. Right? It's not easy just to remain a devotee in Kali Yuga. Right? It's not easy because the material energy is very powerful and she's always trying to pull us back into the material world. So, it is like a war that we are trying to become Krishna conscious, but the material energy is very powerful, right? And she's always trying to allure us back to the material world. So Prabhupada has explained, it's just like a needle. She just comes in very subtly. She says, you just need a little bit of sense gratification. You don't need very much, just a little bit, right? And then you say, okay, yeah, a little bit's okay. I've been so strict, I've been practicing so seriously, I've been such a good devotee. I follow my spiritual master very nicely. So a little bit of sense gratification won't be too much. But she comes in like a needle and she comes out like a plow. You only have to give her 1 centimeter, she will take a mile. That is Maya. She is an enemy who does not sleep. Just like in the fourth canto, we have the story of Paranjana. So in the story of Paranjana, we understand that the material body is a city of 9 gates. Now, the city of 9 gates is our material body. And we have 9 entrances. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. And this is where Maya enters. And she comes through these different entrances. Now, when the city, in a war, when the city is surrounded by the enemy is waiting for any opportunity to invade the city. So Maya, she does not sleep. She is an enemy who does not sleep. Maya doesn't take rest. Even when you're taking rest, she's still there. She comes into your dreams. And she gives you sense gratification in your dreams. You enjoy sense gratification in your dreams also. So she never sleeps. She's always waiting 24 hours a day for an opportunity to enter your eyes, to enter your ears, to enter your nostrils, to enter your tongue, right? Just to enter your consciousness and to take you away from Krishna. That is her service to Krishna. Actually, she does not enjoy the service. Imagine if Aniruddha Prabhu said to you, okay, your service is to stand out the front of the temple, at the front gate, and whoever comes to the temple, tell them, don't come in. Go away. Don't enjoy sense gratification. Like that. Hands up if you would enjoy doing that service. Right? But that is Maya's service. That is Durga's service, Parvati. It is her service. And in the Navadvip Dham Mahamya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that she comes to Lord Chaitanya and she says, Maha Maya comes to Lord Chaitanya and she says, I don't like my service. Right? My service is to keep all your devotees away from you. So this is very distressing for me. I don't enjoy keeping everyone in the material world, all the devotees, but trying back to go back to Godhead. I don't like to try to keep them here in this material world, but that is the service you have given me. So she was feeling a little discouraged. And when Lord Chaitanya said, do not worry. And he said, in the spiritual world, in your original form, you are Yoga Maya. And your service in the spiritual world is to bring all the devotees closer to me. To cover their consciousness so that they become closer to Krishna. By the influence of the internal potency. So when she understood that she was actually Yoga Maya in her original form, then she became satisfied. So, Maya, she will take advantage of any opportunity she has. So the devotees have to be very careful, diligent and vigilant, not to let Maya attack us subtly. Now, what is her most powerful weapon? The most powerful weapon is the opposite sex. It is attraction to the opposite sex, which keeps us in the material world perpetually, lifetime after lifetime. So therefore, the system which is given by the Lord Himself, Chaturvanyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Kama Vibhagashaha. Krishna says in the Gita that the system He gives to regulate your desire to enjoy separately from Him and to purify your consciousness is Vanashram. Vanashram is for those people who are conditioned. Those who are unconditioned, they do not need vana and ashrama. Just like you see our acharyas, you see Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also took Babaji at the end of his life. So they were beyond vana and ashrama. It wasn't necessary for them to follow vana and ashrama. But for us it is necessary to follow vana and ashrama. Because it regulates our desire. It means that we understand we have a desire to enjoy the material energy. We have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So because we have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, then what does Krishna do? He regulates that desire. He says, okay, you can have some sense gratification. That is called Grihastha Ashram. It is a license for sense gratification. So you'll see that just like the government gives you a license if you want to drive a car, right? The government gives you a license. Okay, you can drive the car, but it means you drive the car in a regulated way. You can't just drive wherever you want. You can't just go out Dang Street and just start going up that way. Right? You have to go out and go that way. All right? Do they have licenses in India? Is there a license? They have. Okay. $100. 100 rupees. Like that, so. Do you actually have to sit something, or they just give you something?
Both options.
What's that?
Both options.
So generally, we see that people, they need a license. It means that if you want to drive the car, then you have to get the license. And you have to follow the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, then they take your license away. So similarly, Grihastha Ashram means you are allowed to have sense gratification. You are allowed to have sex, but only to procreate children in Krishna consciousness. So you can enjoy the material energy to an extent, but it is regulated, right? It is not illicit or unlicensed sense gratification. It's not that you can have as much sense gratification as you want. It has to be regulated. Once a month, right? You chant 50 rounds of the Maha Mantra, minimum, right? And then you try to procreate, you try to have a child, and then you bring that child up in Krishna consciousness, right? And then you have 20 years of bliss. Right? Bringing up your children. Right? One night of satisfaction materially, and then 20 years of responsibility. This is the material world. But that Maituni Bhav means the sexual pleasure or the sexual attraction is so powerful that the living entities in the material world, they will put up with that little bit of sense gratification just so that they can enjoy that little bit. They'll put up with so much, I don't know what to call it, so much, what's it called?
Hardship.
You're a mother, so I can say it, okay. Hardship, like that. So much hardship. And actually, it's just anxiety. Children are just anxiety, basically. Always anxiety, because you're just anxious all the time. You know, are they okay? What are they doing? Are they, it's anxiety non-stop. Then why do you do it? Right? Because sex life is pleasurable. So you'll have your sex life and you'll have your children. And then, what is the point of the Grihastha Ashram? Why does Krishna regulate it? Why does he regulate our sense gratification? Because when you come out the other side of Grihastha Ashram, after 20, 25 years, you'll be detached from the material world. Right? If you follow it properly. You will lose your attachment if you follow it properly, if you're strict. So that is the point. Because the point of Vedic civilization is what? It is renunciation. It's to become renounced. Brahmacharis, Brahmacharinis, Vanaprastas and Sannyasis, what is the nature of the ashram? Right? There is no sex life. Right? It is detached. Right? So then you go through a Grihastha Ashram for that one point, to become detached. So this is the situation. But here, Pururava, he's enjoying with Urvashi, but he's not following a regulated system by that. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that when you do not regulate your senses, it ends in suffering. Right? This is the nature. Now, he says, enjoyment in the mode of passion, it is enjoyable in the beginning, but in the end it is poisonous. Right? Tastes nice in the beginning, but it will give you so much suffering long term. That is a civilization which is based on the mode of passion. That's the material world these days. Everyone's passionate, everyone's ignorant, everyone wants to enjoy their senses to the maximum degree. And what is taking place? People are simply suffering. And there is not happiness in society. You know? Just like now, you go onto the tram, you go to work, and you see all the happy people on the tram going to work. Like that. So much pleasure. So much satisfaction. And what are they doing? They built all these skyscrapers in Melbourne, Rialto Tower and I can't remember all that. Which one? Yeah, all of them. Oh, they built them. Right? So many towers. And then now, what's the point? Everyone works hard like a dog all day from 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, till 6 at night or 7 at night or whatever, just to maintain the towers. That's all everyone's working for, just to maintain the towers. Because you've got to, the company has to pay the rent on the building. They have to maintain they have to pay the guy who owns the building. Right? So then they work hard and they run all these companies and they employ all these people just to maintain the towers. And you're happy, right? Because you get a pay packet at the end of the day and you come home completely tired and frustrated, just so you can have a little bit of sex life, watch television for a half an hour or something, then go to bed and then get up and do it again. And your life is so happy. But it's okay because on Saturday we can go to the football. Right? And then we'll enjoy. We'll let out all of our frustration on Saturday at the football. Sunday we'll sleep in. Right? And that is the perfection of human life. If I can sleep in on Sunday for 10-12 hours, then that's perfection. Right? And then my life is perfect. Just like I remember a few years ago, we had an initiation ceremony upstairs. So we went upstairs, we took the deities upstairs, and one of the gurus was here, I can't remember who it was, and it might have been David Maritaswamy, I think, and he was initiating some devotees. So we're up there and we did, like, you know, Sunday morning, like about 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, and we're doing kirtan and, you know, Maharaj speaking initiation. So one of the devotees was blowing the conch, you know, because the deities came out and said blowing the conch. So the man across the road, he, in his pajamas, he came over and he walked into the, and he said, "What the hell are you people doing?" He said, 8 o'clock Sunday morning. He said, "I work hard all week just so I can sleep. And you guys are going, He said, "What is wrong with you people?" So I said to him, I said, "I'm very sorry that we do it like that." And I said, "We're not very considerate. We tend to be like that, the Hare Krishnas. You know? We think we own everything. Because Krishna owns everything. So then we think we own everything." So then, I said sorry to him, and I told the devotees, "Please stop blowing the conch shell like that." So just remember that, you know, if there's initiation ceremony in the morning, don't blow the conch shell loudly. It's not.
Especially on Sundays.
Especially Sundays, yeah. But try not to do it anyway. You have to be conscientious of our neighbours. When we first got this temple, you see here where all the pillars are. In between the pillars, there's windows. If you go outside, there's windows. So before all this was cemented in and bricked in, right, there was just windows there. So devotees used to have Mangalati here at 4:30 in the morning. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Right, and then all the neighbours, they would get very frustrated with us. They would wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, come out to see their garden, and all the roses in their garden were gone. Devotees used to do all these things. The best one of all time was in Korma Prabhu's book. If you've read The Great Transcendental Adventure, the first time we had Rath Yatra here in Melbourne, and Prabhupada actually came. The devotees went to Cranbourne, which is about 50 minutes from Melbourne, and one man had a flower. He grows flowers to sell at the market. He had hothouses full of flowers, carnations. So he walked in 7 o'clock in the morning into his hothouse, and every carnation had gone. Because in the middle of the night, the devotees drove down to Cranbourne, jumped the fence, went in, picked all the, like, just the heads of all these carnations, right? Jumped the fence and drove back to the temple. So the man just walked in, and he just couldn't believe there's no flowers, right? So he rang the police. And he said, "You know, someone just stole all my flowers." So the police looked in the newspaper, and in the newspaper it said on Saturday there's going to be Festival of the Chariots. Right? So then they thought, "Oh, maybe this is where the flowers are." So they took the man, they came on Saturday morning, and the devotees had Lord Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. That was the first time Jagannath Balaram Subhadra appeared in Melbourne on the Ratha Yatra cart. So they had the carts, and the man came, and the police said, "Are these your carnations?" And there's carnations all over the chariots. He said, "Yeah, they're my carnations." So they went up to one of the devotees, the Pujari, who was on the chariot, and they said, "Who sold the carnations?" And the devotee said, "I don't know. I don't know who stole the carnations." And the policeman said, "Well, if you don't tell us who stole them, then we're going to stop this festival, right? You're not going to have this festival." So then one of the devotees came up and said, "I stole them." So the police said, "Okay, come to the police station." And so then they went to the police. He wasn't even the devotee who stole them. He just said he did it, just so the Ratha Yatra festival could go on. So he went to the police station. The Ratha Yatra festival went on. And then the man took us to court. I don't know how this happened, but he took us to court. And then in the court, we stole the flowers. We put them on Jagannath's chariot. We went through the city. He took us to court, and then he lost the court case. The judge... I don't know that. The judge ruled in our favour, said we were right, and he was wrong, and he had to pay our expenses. So... Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, they have some leelas. They're coming back out in February to do it all again. The temple has more money now, so we don't have to steal the flowers. So please don't steal the flowers, because we want this to be peaceful. Like that. So devotees, they do things like this. I don't know why, but like that. Because the mentality, we think everything belongs to Krishna. It's true, everything belongs to Krishna, but you have to understand that we're still in the material world. And we have neighbours. And the neighbours, we have to make them favourable towards us. Srila Prabhupada said the public should adore the Hare Krishnas. They should adore us. They should think we are the best people. And they have a very good public impression of us. In this city, we have a very good public relation. We have to keep that at all costs. It means we have to follow the law. There is a law in this city, and we have to follow it also. We cannot just do whatever we want, thinking that we are beyond the law. No, you have to follow it like that. Because otherwise, it creates a very bad public impression of our movement. And then it reflects badly on Krishna, and it reflects badly on Prabhupada, and then our movement gets a bad reputation. So people, they have to learn to adore us. So therefore, we have to be very perfect in all of our sadhaja, or our behaviour, especially dealing with the public. In Hungary, where Shivaram Swami has Krishna Valley, and they're preaching in Hungary, the devotees have become so popular because at Christmas time, because it's a big event for the non-devotees, is Christmas. At Christmas time, Shivaram Swami and all the devotees, they buy clothes and different parcels, and then they give them out to all the poor people. And someone can say, well, that's just material activity. But as a result of these kind of activities, we've become very, very popular in Hungary. So much so that the government in Hungary a few years ago, they passed a law that every person in Hungary has to give 1% of their weekly wage to some charity. It's a law in Hungary. Everyone has to do it. So then there's a list of charities you can choose from. And number four in Hungary, the fourth most popular, is Krishna Valley. Is the Hare Krishna movement. People, they like us so much there because we've done so much propaganda. So this is our system. We have to make ourselves very popular for the public. So it means that there are laws and you have to follow the laws, and you have to receive a license. So Krishna, in terms of how he deals with this material world, he's given everyone a license. There is a license for sense gratification, right? It is called Grihastha Ashram, right? It is a license. It doesn't mean you can enjoy yourself unlimitedly, which is not really enjoyment anyway. Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, he says, sex pleasure is just like rubbing your hands together to relieve an itch. You have some itch there on your hand, and then you rub your hand to relieve the itch. He said, that is what sex pleasure is. Right? It's just relieving an itch like that. But then what happens when you scratch something? Right? Then it gets worse. Right? So that's what material life is. That's what his sex life is. Too much sex life, your desire increases. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava. It is calm. It is lust. And it increases more and more the more you feed it. The more fuel you put on the fire, the bigger the fire becomes. Like that. So there has to be some restriction. This is Vedic culture. So here, we're hearing about Pururava. He's uniting with Urvashi, and he thinks he's enjoying. But actually, this bondage just keeps us in the material world. So Krishna gives all of us independence. And what is that independence for? Right? That independence is to make a choice. You can go back to the material world, or you can go back to the spiritual world. That is your choice. So then, we have to make the choice to go to the spiritual world. We don't want to stay in this material world forever. So therefore, sometimes, devotees, they have sex desire. One time, one of the devotees said, they said different things to Prabhupada. One time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I have no sex desire. Prabhupada said, what is wrong with you? It's not possible to have a material body and not have sex desire. Unless you become liberated. Jivan mukta. Means you become liberated from your material body. Then you will not have any sex desire. But otherwise, material body means sex desire. Just like material body means hunger, means thirst, means so many things. We have so many desires. That's what the material body means. Urges. Different vegans. So sex desire is part of the material body. One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what do we do when we have sex desire? Prabhupada said, grit your teeth and bear it. Sometimes it's there. It comes and it goes. When it comes, it doesn't mean we act on it. It means we control ourselves, right? And then we focus on Krishna. Ultimately, if you want to overcome sex desire, you have to surrender to Madan Mohan. Madan means Cupid. In the West we have Cupid. In the India you have Madan. Madan means Kamadev. He's in control of lust. Right? He fires the arrows. He gets the arrows and he goes and shoots in your heart. And then you desire comes. Attraction to the opposite sex comes when he shoots you in the heart. Kamadev, Madan. So one time, he wanted to become very famous, Cupid, Madan. So he thought, who should I shoot? If I shoot someone, I'll become really famous. So he said, I'll shoot one of the brahmacharis. So he came to the Melbourne ashram, and he looked, and he said, no, not these guys. And then he went to Narada Muni. Because Narada is the most famous brahmachari. He's the most perfect brahmachari. So he came up to Narada and he got his arrow and he looked at Narada and he went, Narada looked at him and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to shoot you. He said, why are you going to shoot me? And he said, because if I shoot you and I make you lusty, I will become very famous. And Narada said, I'm very easy. I'm an easy target, easy to make me lusty, no problem. And he said, why don't you go and shoot someone who's really difficult? And he said, who is difficult? He said, his name is Krishna. He's in Vrindavan. So Cupid thought, okay, this is good. So he went into Vrindavan and he was searching. And he's looking around and then he heard the flute. Right? And then he looked and he thought, where is that flute? And then he came and he's behind the trees. And he came out from behind the tree and then he saw him holding the flute. And he went, but then when he saw him, he went, and he just collapsed on the ground, fainted unconscious. Because Krishna was so beautiful that when Cupid saw him, he bewildered him. So then Krishna became known as Madan Mohan, which means one who bewilders Cupid. So Krishna, if you actually want to overcome Cupid, you have to become attached to Krishna. And how do you become attached to Krishna? You have to become attached to the person who controls Krishna. And who controls Krishna? Madan Mohan Mohini. And her name is Srimati Radhika. She controls Krishna. So if you come to her and you beg her, or if you beg for the mercy of her representative, the spiritual master, then you will receive her mercy. And this is how you'll overcome Cupid. It's only the only place you, the only way you can overcome your desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is by purifying that desire, by making it Krishna conscious. Purify your desire to enjoy separately from Krishna and make that desire in your heart the desire to serve Krishna. Right? And by Krishna's beauty, his potency, he will attract you away from the material energy. Ultimately, this is how to do it. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Exactly, Radharani. It's Radharani. Radharani's expansion, you could say, like that. But it is Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So Yogamaya brings us closer to Krishna, and Mahamaya keeps us away from Krishna. So in the spiritual world, she keeps us, brings us closer to Krishna, and in the material world, she takes us away from Krishna. So it's just your choice, whichever Maya you want to be, and then she will facilitate your desire. If you want to serve Krishna, then Radharani and Yogamaya, they will help you come closer to Krishna. And if you want to enjoy away from Krishna, then Mahamaya, Parvati, she will help to take you away from Krishna. So she's just serving you according to what you want. Whatever your desire is, then she will facilitate that. Does that answer your question? Okay. Okay. Any other question? Comment?
Well, I read that Lord Gautama Buddha, even he is an incarnation of Krishna. But Buddhist philosophies, they never mention anything about Krishna, nor they believe in the soul. Or so why this, we are in the suspension, like, we don't understand that. We are not able to understand why this. But in Hindu philosophy, I read somewhere that Buddha is Krishna's incarnation. But that is a different philosophy again. That they don't believe in Krishna, I mean, they don't anywhere mention about Krishna or anything about that. So why this religion that we, like Rama, Krishna, they have, like, we know that they
have. You read the Srimad Bhagavatam?
No.
Then you have to read it.
Okay.
All this is in there. If you read the first canto, and then you read chapter 3, then it describes Krishna as the source of all incarnations, describes different incarnations coming from Krishna, and then one of the incarnations is Buddha. So it describes that Lord Buddha, he came for a particular reason. So if you read that, you can read that today, Canto 1, Chapter 3, and then you look there, you'll find one verse about Buddha. It's probably around about verse 20 or something like that. Then if you read there, it will describe. Okay? And then if you have any questions, you can ask next time, if you need clarification. Is it okay? Okay. Right, so. Any other questions?
We have the standard prayers where we chant Krishna prayers and there are some prayers mentioned in Bhagavatam. But like for Tamil Nadu, maybe we should pray to Radharani. Are there any prayers which we should recite?
In Kartik month?
Yeah.
Yeah, Damodarashtika. That's why we sing it. Also, everyone be careful when you throw the water. See, it's, the water is hitting here and it's making smudge marks on here. So whoever's in the month of Kartik, while this is up, if when we're doing Prabhupada's Guru Puja and they're throwing the water on the devotees, just put it on their head or something, because it's wrecking this. So you have to be careful like that. So in the month of Damodar, then we should sing this prayer. And we should meditate on the meaning of the prayer. And we should understand what the prayer is about and what it means. This is specifically, there's so many prayers you can read like that. Any of the prayers by the previous acharyas, then you can read those things. Like that. So many prayers that you can read. Like that. Narottam Das Thakur's prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers. like that. If you specifically want to worship Radharani, then there are different prayers to Radharani, which are there, like that. Yeah, so many different prayers. Any other questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.